So thanks for the introduction. Hi everyone, I'm Michael Piatek, and as was mentioned, I'm going to be talking about how to build distributed systems that are robust to people, and specifically in the context of BitTorrent. And this is going to, the work that I'm going to be talking about is joint with collaborators at the University of Washington and the University of Massachusetts. So let's start by talking about why all of this matters. Peer-to-peer systems have a great promise. And one of their great promises is scalability. More users come into the system, more and more users increase demand, but with each additional user that comes into the system, demand increases, but capacity also increases, at least ideally. Early peer-to-peer systems didn't provide any contribution incentives whatsoever. That means that they relied basically on the goodwill of people to contribute resources, and it didn't take users very long to figure out that they didn't actually have to give anything to the system to get anything back. And that's exactly what happened in Nutella, an early peer-to-peer system, where measurement studies discovered that essentially 70% of Nutella users didn't share any files. And in this system, that's equivalent to not contributing any resources to the system. And furthermore, 50% of the queries were answered by the top 1% of hosts. So this scalability promise isn't really being delivered on because most of the people aren't doing anything useful for the system. So subsequent designs recognize this problem, and there are a few alternate solutions that you might try here. One of them is incentive priorities. This is in a network kazaa some of you might be familiar with. They essentially relied on clients to tell other clients how much they were contributing to the system, and by virtue of a closed-source client, they were supposed to provide some integrity, but it turns out these incentive priorities were pretty easily spoofed and thus weren't very successful at inhibiting free riding, which was their goal. Another design point that you might consider is a centralized accounting model, and this was adopted by a vendor that produced Mojo Nation. They used a kind of virtual currency called Mojo. However, this required some centralized trust, and it turns out that it wasn't really taken up because the company got shut down. That brings us more or less to today, where the canonical example of a peer-to-peer system that incorporates incentives into its design explicitly is BitTorrent. So they have explicit incentives, as I said, in the form of a tit-for-tat reciprocation policy that I'll describe further later. But essentially, that brings us to our work, which asks a pretty simple question. Did BitTorrent get this right? Have they solved the problem? Should we be looking at BitTorrent as the model for how to build distributed systems that are robust to users acting in their self-interest and incorporate user incentives? It turns out that when we looked at this, we found out it wasn't the case, that in fact, a strategic user can game the system, and by game the system, I mean that it can do less work, that is, contribute fewer resources to the system, and improve its performance. So the broader question, which we try to get at, which we haven't quite pinned down yet, and I'll talk about why, is what's the long-term outcome of strategic behavior? And I'll describe the strategic behavior, and we know that it can improve performance in certain cases, but when everyone does it, when everyone adopts our policies and maybe manipulates them slightly, what happens? And I'll talk about why that's an open question. So just to give a high-level outline of the talk, first, I'll describe how BitTorrent is designed to work. That's how the system was designed and the incentive strategy that it uses described ideally. Then I'll move on to describing some measurements that we did to understand how BitTorrent works in practice. And these measurements will parameterize a model, the results of which I'll describe. And these results, driven by measurement modeling results, drive the design of BitTyrant, which is the selfish client that we built to essentially do less work and get better performance. And I'll describe that. And finally, I'll describe a performance evaluation that we did both on real swarms that you may have downloaded yourself and a synthetic evaluation that we did on Planet Lab. So just to get started, how is BitTorrent designed to work? There are three relevant questions to understanding the rest of the talk as it pertains to BitTorrent's operation today. So that's where peers come from, how is the overlay that BitTorrent uses to distribute data constructed? That's the second question, how does BitTorrent distribute data? And finally, perhaps the most crucial point is how servicing decisions are made or how requests are prioritized. That's this tit-for-tat strategy that I mentioned earlier. So first, where peers come from, a peer-to-peer joins the system by first asking a coordinating tracker server for a set of random peers. Now, Important properties of the set of peers that it gets are that it's random and totally unstructured. It gets them from a centralized host, and here P gets D, A, and E. And so just to take a look at this again, I'll represent the random subset that P receives here in yellow, and the content provider is at the top left. And of course, everyone else has gone through this process beforehand, so there are some existing links in the system that have already been built up. So I'll represent the file that's going to be distributed in this example as a series of colored blocks here. And the way that distribution goes is, first the content provider will send a few blocks to a few users that it's directly connected to. And then the content provider will continue sending blocks to those users that it's directly connected to. But also, during subsequent rounds, those users can in turn redistribute blocks to others. And this process goes on and on, until eventually everyone has the complete file, and as more and more users get blocks, more and more users can assist in the distribution process. So that describes how BitTorrent is designed to work and gives a high-level overview and intuition of how the data distribution and overlay are constructed, but how BitTorrent actually works in practice is the files are composed of many hundreds of blocks often, and peers maintain connections to others, often that number in the hundreds. So there, at any given time, there's many different decisions about which peers request a service and what data rates to give them and who should receive data. And so essentially, this slide summarizes how BitTorrent clients today make those decisions. And there's two crucial ones. First, which peers' requests am I going to service? At any given time, tons of people are asking me for data. Who gets it? And then, for those people that I'm going to send data to, how quickly will I send them data? That's choosing a rate to send them data at. So the way BitTorrent clients do this today is first they sort peers by the incoming data rate, that is how quickly, if I'm going to consider your request, how quickly have you been sending data to me during the past few tens of seconds? And so I'll sort peers using that, and then I'll reciprocate with the top k, that is, I'm going to send data to the top k of these, where k is a parameter that today in most BitTorrent clients is determined by, is proportional to the square root of upload rate. So this is fixed, and this is a fixed parameter in terms of upload rate, and for each of these people in the top k, I'm going to divide my bandwidth up equally. So here, if we're considering some peers that have sent data to p, let's say that my capacity is 20, and k equals 2 for me, then I'll reciprocate with A and C because they've been sending me data at 17 and 13, which is comparatively faster rates than everyone else. But because I'm sending to 2 and I have capacity 20, I'll send to each at 10. That's the equal split of my capacity, and I'll refer to that throughout the talk as equal split rate. So that describes how BitTorrent is intended to work, and the intuition here is pretty straightforward, right? It seems like this strategy should work. I'm rewarding people that are doing things for me. I'm making all decisions locally based on my self-interest. It seems like this is a strategy that should work pretty well. Plus, it's fantastically simple conceptually, so it's easy to wrap your head around. So next, I'll describe BitTorrent's operation in practice. The goal for us here was to characterize what I'll call altruistic contribution. So this is the contribution that, if I didn't make it to the system, so contribution that I make to the system, if I took it away, my performance would stay the same, or at least it wouldn't go down. So again, this is contribution that is unnecessary from the perspective of my self-interest in performance. So the two questions that we wanted to get at were how much contribution is altruistic. This tells us what the potential for performance benefit is if we strategize over this altruistic contribution. I'll describe that a little bit later, but how much performance benefit could we possibly get? And what are the sources of altruism? This would tell us how to build a client which exploits these. And so to do this, we take kind of a hybrid approach between measurement and modeling. We wanted to understand things in a fundamental sense, so we wanted to build a model that got at the fundamental issues that underlie BitTorrent. But as we were attempting to do this, we kept running into missing parameters, that the most crucial of which is the upload capacity distribution of BitTorrent peers. So it turns out that a whole bunch of crucial performance parameters in BitTorrent are determined very conveniently by just the distribution of upload capacities that peers are likely to have in practice. So the details of how we conducted the measurements are described in the paper. Here I'll focus on the results of our measurement and modeling. Let's go straight to what this end host capacity distribution is, which I alluded to. So this graph shows a CDF of cumulative distribution of the upload capacity of BitTorrent peers. So pick a point here to explain this graph, if you read off this point here, it tells you that 65% of peer upload capacities are less than or equal to 100 kilobytes per second. So the takeaway point from this graph is that the end host capacity is pretty heavily skewed. But what's even more important is this equal split capacity distribution that I talked about earlier. Now remember that the equal split of a peer's rate is how much raw capacity it has divided by the number of peers that it's going to be simultaneously sending data to. So if someone has a raw capacity of 100 kilobytes per second, they may send to 7 people simultaneously, and that would give them an equal split rate of about 14. That's the correspondence between these two distributions. And the takeaway point from this graph is that peers really compete for reciprocation over a very small range. If you look at where the majority of users' equal split capacities fall, that's their per-peer send rate, 70% of them fall within an 8 kilobyte per second range. So what that's telling you is that people that are really below the bulk of this probability for equal split rate are going to be competing very, very poorly with others, and people that are far in excess of it are going to be virtually guaranteed to earn reciprocation. So really the range of competition is very narrow. And what does this mean for that definition of altruism that I brought up earlier? Again, this is a graph of altruism. On the y-axis is the percentage of a given capacity shown on the x-axis that is altruistic. Again, this is contribution that if I didn't make it, my performance would stay the same or it wouldn't go down. So the takeaway from the previous graph in relation to this one is that at the low end, people with low capacity, they really can't compete with others because the vast majority of users have higher equal split capacity than them. So they're never going to land in that top K set where you need to be to earn reciprocation. So virtually all of their contribution is altruistic because they never get reciprocation. It doesn't matter if they contribute that capacity or not. Similarly, at the high end, because peers are often mismatched in terms of capacity, as you increase in your contribution, you're just exceeding the knee of the curve in terms of probability of reciprocation, and the percentage of your contribution which is altruistic is increasing. But even at the lowest point here, which is around 90, 100 kilobytes per second, where you might think that BitTorrent was designed to operate, maybe these are cable and DSL hosts, still people are making altruistic contributions that can be withheld. And so the takeaway, again, from this graph is that all peers, all users of BitTorrent are making unnecessary contributions. So that brings us to our work, our work on building a strategic client which exploits this. I've described the sources of altruism and the fact that altruism is quite extensive. Everyone is making these altruistic contributions. It seems like we can leverage these to improve performance and test out our ideas more in practice. So that's BitTorrent, our strategic client. So the key idea here in the construction of BitTorrent is really dead simple. The idea is to maximize the return on investment. So via strategic peer and peer selection and strategic rate selection. Now remember that I said that all BitTorrent peers need to make these decisions about which peers request a service and how quickly to send them data. So we're going to strategize over these crucial decisions. So in a cost benefit sense, what's the cost of a BitTorrent peer? Well, it's the amount of data that I need to send to them to induce reciprocation. So that's how much data do I need to give to you to land in your top K peers so that you'll send data to me during the next tit for tat round. And the benefit that I get from you is just how much data you send to me or the data rate at which you send to me. And so BitTorrent dynamically estimates these each tit for tat round. So for each peer that it knows about, it's keeping updates of these parameters and using them to make decisions. How does it use them to make decisions? Well, this is a rewrite of what I said on the previous slide to some extent. Again, just like BitTorrent, we sort peers by how quickly how rapidly they've been giving us data over the recent past. But what's different between BitTorrent and BitTorrent is that we normalize by the amount of data that we had to give to that peer to induce them to get reciprocation. So your worth to me is how much you're giving me, but also how much I had to give to you. And so we sort peers by this, and we reciprocate with the top K. But in BitTorrent, K is not a fixed parameter that's dependent on rate, as it is in existing BitTorrent clients. For BitTorrent peers, K is dynamically estimated each time it makes these decisions to fully utilize the upload capacity while packing as many people into this knapsack as it can. So how do we update these parameters? After each round, we reciprocate with some people. And for those people that send data back to us, we can update D sub P, which is how quickly they're sending to us, with direct observation. But if they keep sending us data over many tit-for-tat rounds, we can say, oh, maybe we're giving these people too much data. Maybe we can kind of back off a little bit, do a little less work. And so we use continued reciprocation as a signal that we're doing too much, and we reduce our contribution to them. That's U sub P. And if they don't reciprocate with us, that's a signal that we need to give them more to earn reciprocation. So we increase our U sub P estimate. That's how much we need to give them to induce reciprocation. So next, I'll talk about how well this works in the real world. And the answer is pretty well. The two key questions which you might want to know the answer to, I mean, at the most basic level, does this work? Does it improve performance for me? You know, can I download BitTorrent files faster? The answer is yes. And the more murky question here is, what if everyone adopts this strategic behavior? What are the implications for BitTorrent? What can we learn here about strategic operation at scale? And that's a little more murky, and I'll get into that later. So first, the straightforward result, how does performance improve in the wild? So this is kind of a tough graph to read, so I'll go through it hopefully slowly and clearly. This is, again, a cumulative distribution of a performance improvement factor that's shown on the x-axis. So the experimental setup here is we had two machines at the University of Washington, one running BitTorrent and one running the BitTorrent client on which we based BitTorrent, so it's really an apples-to-apples comparison. We just made the changes that we described, and we download a whole bunch of torrent description files that allow us to join these swarms, and we download them at the same time with both clients, so it's just a race. And on the x-axis is the ratio of the download time with the original client, that's the unmodified client, and BitTorrent's download time. So on this graph, everything to the right of x equal 1 is a performance improvement for us, which is most swarms. And again, just to pick a point here, you can see that roughly 25% of swarms finish in half the time or less. That's x equal 2 on this graph. So performance improves in the real world, but we wanted to get some more insight about comparability among upload capacity rates and evaluate this in a more controlled setting. So we did some experiments on Planet Lab, and what's shown here is the download times of files on Planet Lab given a synthetic swarm. So we had 350 Planet Lab nodes that are all constantly downloading a file. And then we, again, joined this synthetic swarm from two machines at UW, one with a BitTorrent client, one with an unmodified client. And we compare the download times. And we did this multiple times, six times. So the points on this graph correspond to the averages, and the error bars are standard deviation over six trials. And so what you can see here is that at every upload capacity rate we tried, BitTorrent improves performance. So you might think that this is only going to be useful for these extremely high capacity peers that can strategize over a broad range and have a lot of altruistic contribution already. But we can see here that there's benefits even for low capacity peers. And what's maybe even more important here is that performance is consistent when you use BitTorrent. So the standard deviation is low, and the performance is consistently better. And there's a point of diminishing returns here. So after a particular point, a high-capacity peer can't really improve its performance much more by making additional contributions to the system. So this begs the question, which is, why should these high-capacity people be contributing to BitTorrent? Maybe they'll have something better to do with their capacity, and they can just reallocate it, participate in multiple swarms, you know, who knows? So the next experiment we did got at this question, which is we again used Planet Lab, 350 or so Planet Lab nodes, and we had them all download a file, and we compared the download times of every client. So in this experiment, we're trying to get at this question of what if everyone uses BitTorrent? So in the line that's shown here, this is the performance for original BitTorrent. And so what happens if everybody uses BitTorrent, as I described it earlier? Well, surprisingly, performance goes up. This is a CDF, so lines to the left are better performance, and we couldn't believe this, but it turns out that even if you leave as soon as you finish downloading the file, as peers in this experiment do, performance still goes up because we tend to find higher capacity peers earlier and preferentially give them data, which improves performance. But this is with high capacity peers contributing all of their data. Now again, this isn't just ordinary Planet Lab nodes. We've imposed application level bandwidth caps to match our observed distribution. So one question is, how much are these high capacity peers contributing, and what happens if those high capacity peers only make contributions that improve their performance? That is, they're selfish. So that's what this final line shows, and you can see here that if everyone is selfish, high capacity peers in particular, and they only make contributions that improve their performance, performance goes down for everyone. So the median download time goes up by 38%. So there's kind of a spectrum here. If everyone uses BitTyrant as it is today and continues to contribute all their excess capacity, even after they can identify that it's excess capacity, then performance might go up. So there's some there's a performance gain to be had here. BitTorrent as it operates today is in the middle. But if people behave selfishly, capacity in the system is going to be reduced, and of course performance goes down. So what can we conclude from all this? Well, there are a few conclusions and there are a few questions. The things that we can conclude are that in BitTorrent, performance today really depends on altruistic contributions. And that's in spite of tit for tat, altruism is there, but this is not required. This is not inherent in the protocol, these altruistic contributions. They can be withdrawn. They can be identified and withdrawn. And I've described this selfish client, BitTyrant, which does exactly that. It strategizes over peer selection and rate selection to improve performance by behaving strategically and selfishly. And this leaves us with a few open questions. Since ultimately this is a human question, what will people do? Will they actually behave selfishly? And in which case, might we need to move to some other design point with stronger incentives? Or will things go on more or less as they are today? And we can say, well, even though there's this vulnerability in BitTorrent, it's pretty robust. You don't need too much more. And this gets at a broader question, which is, can we design practical incentive-compatible systems that actually do increase in robustness as users respond to their own incentives? And so if you'd like to help us answer this question about how people will behave, you can join the 150,000 or so other people that have downloaded this client, which is freely available at the website shown on the screen. So thanks for your attention, and I'm happy to take questions.
Devakar Gupta, UC San Diego. So I had two questions. The first one is that in a figure you showed that for BitTorrent, the standard deviation you see across multiple runs is much less compared to the original BitTorrent client. This is for the single client graph. And can you give some intuition as to why this is so? That's the first question. And then the second question is that it seems that BitTorrent needs some reliable estimate of the upload capacity at the client. So how sensitive is BitTorrent performance to that?
Okay, these two questions are related, so it's good that you asked them as a pair. The first one is, why is there more consistent performance here? And the answer is that really we're much better at identifying the high capacity peers. So BitTorrent clients today, they rely essentially on random exploration of peers to determine who are the desirable ones. And so this is the optimistic unchoke mechanism in BitTorrent, which I didn't have time to describe here. But in contrast to that random exploration, we rely on whatever information we can get about peers' upload capacity and a faster exploration, and really a preference for exploration, to find out who's good faster. And so much earlier on in this swarm, we were able to identify who are the high-capacity peers, and that gives us more consistent performance. Now, related to that is the second question of, well, we leverage these upload capacity estimates to make this decision. How are we getting those? So essentially, we use a bunch of mechanisms. The most relevant one is, first of all, the download rate of someone is a good proxy for what their upload rate, at least relatively speaking, is likely to be. If you assume tit for tat is working, however poorly in general, someone's download performance should be correlated, at least weakly, with their upload capacity. And so even though using their download rate as a proxy for upload capacity is probably an overestimate because of asymmetric links today, that preference for exploration turns out to be really useful. Because again, remember, the bandwidth capacity distribution is so highly skewed that really finding those top peers is incredibly rewarding. So that's the strategy that BitTyrant is really taking. We're trying to find those extremely high capacity peers very quickly and then keep them happy, which today turns out to be surprisingly easy. So that's why there's more consistent performance, and that's how we estimate these things.
Hi, Jacob Erickson, MIT. I was looking at, when you described your scheme for how you allocate uploads to various clients, you mentioned that a client that is not giving you reciprocation gets more more of an upload. Now, does this mean that you're actually vulnerable to a third type of client, let's say a bit terrorist, that never gives you anything, and you just end up giving him all you got?
So yes, it's possible that there are vulnerabilities here that we haven't yet looked at. So emphatically, one of our goals here is not to claim that BitTorrent itself is strategy proof. Our main motivation here was just trying to understand how BitTorrent works today. And now, the modification that you describe, correct me if I'm wrong, is one where someone might, since we use download rate to infer what upload contribution might be, someone who claims that they have a really fantastic download rate, which is something that's possible in the protocol today, and then we give them some data and it turns out that they really aren't very good for us. And it's possible that you might be able to leverage that to form an attack on BitTorrent. I'm not sure what your mileage would be, but once we realize that someone is not going to be able to deliver on what we expect them to, we have direct observation, and they're going to go straight to the bottom of the list if they can't deliver.
So in this case, it says no reciprocation. It seems, at least from this description, that if I just never
use of P here is the upload rate that I need to give you. So if you didn't give data to me, that's a signal to me that I need to give you more. It doesn't say that I will give you more. It just says that I'm going to count you as requiring that.
I see. All right. Thank you.
Swaminathan, Amazon.com. I have a couple of questions. First one is actually, does the BitTorrent actually do the optimistic unchoking? And if so, how? And the second one is, if everybody uses BitTorrent, what will be the stability of the protocol? I don't know if you have seen the Sigmetrics paper a couple of years before about Milan actually talking about why is BitTorrent protocol stable, and what does it need to be modeling it as a coupon replication system. So I'm just wondering, have you analyzed, are there many clients which are not finishing the downloads, or what is the implication of everyone running it?
So the first question is the easiest. It's the easier of the two. It's, does BitTorrent do optimistic unchokes? And in fact, as we've implemented it today, it doesn't do optimistic unchokes in the sense that it doesn't choose every tit-for-tat round a random peer to send data to. What it will do is not behave selfishly by default. So if it has excess capacity, it will donate that capacity essentially at random to anyone that has interest in the data. And we did that just because it's not clear from a selfish perspective why a peer would perform an optimistic unchoke. Now, your second question about the stability analysis of the protocol, we haven't done any formal analysis here. Our approach was eminently practical. Stability analysis would be extremely interesting. I can describe the way that the protocol tends to operate in practice. For instance, it tends to spread bandwidth very evenly across many peers at kind of, let's see if I can get to this graph. At this point, at about the 80th percentile of equal split capacity. So it's unchoking lots of peers. That's a big difference from BitTorrent clients today.
Sure, but the download time, what you plotted actually will be download time of a client which successfully downloaded. Do you have a percentage of clients which didn't actually finish download in the original BitTorrent versus BitTorrent?
Okay, I just Jonathan Dorg, University of Utah. I wanted to know whether the high capacity clients are disproportionately impacted by other high capacity clients performing selfishly.
So, what sort of impact are you thinking of?
Like, for instance, if other high capacity clients perform selfishly, I, as a high capacity client, may have been able to download at a much faster rate than I otherwise would have, whereas a low capacity client may be saturated anyways.
Well, what's interesting about BitTorrent today is that it turns out that low-capacity peers are the ones who are benefiting overwhelmingly from this. Now, in a circumstance where there are two high-capacity peers, BitTorrent would actually help you, because in existing BitTorrent implementations, it's going to take an incredibly long time for two high-capacity people to find each other. And only then they might be able to send at a higher rate. But even then, it'll be an equal split rate. Right, which is not going to properly reward maybe my higher contribution to you, and we won't realize we have high capacity. But in contrast, BitTorrent is going to say, okay, I'm going to look for you as fast as possible, know that you're high capacity, and we're both going to be able to verify that to each other, because we're going to have high send rate, and we're going to incorporate that into our decision-making process. So for high capacity peers, as long as they don't behave selfishly, it's a big win.